Blog Talk Radio.
Now it's time for some mind, body, and soul food with host Tanya Parker.
I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Yeah, I'm a hungry woman. Feed me like I want to be fed. Well, you can feed my body, but you really gotta feed my head. You know I'm hungry like a dog.
Well, hello, 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 and welcome to Mind, Body, and Soul Food. I am your host, Tanya Parker, here on this glorious spring day, here to dish up some deliciously delectable consciousness-raising creations for your mind, body, and soul. So I would first like to say thank you to Gay Adegbolola out of Fredericksburg, Virginia, who brought us in with Hungry Woman Blues. And we have the cure for Hungry Woman and Hungry Man Blues on this show. At least that's my story, and I'm sticking with it. So here on first and second Sundays at 6, we serve up a big dish on natural and holistic healing to feed your mind, body, and soul. Before we get started into the meat of the show, let me share with you a little bit about myself. Spirit has called me to work within my practice ministry called Mind, Body, and Spirit Works to facilitate expression of one's highest self through divinely inspired and assisted holistic healing, teaching, coaching, and writing services. And my holistic table has served up so much over the past few decades, and one of my favorite, I have to say, is Mind, Body, and Soul Food, which has provided an opportunity each month, starting this year twice a month, to feed our listeners with mind, body, and soul nourishing information as we give voice to the vision of truly gifted holistic healers and light workers. I want to thank all of you listeners out there who support the show. We've been growing by leaps and bounds, and we have people calling from all over the country. And I'd like to especially thank those who tuned in for our last episode and actually called in when we had Savitri Khalsa, who did laughter yoga. And we truly, we had a hoot, and we were not afraid to make fools of ourselves, but I have to tell you, I felt so happy after the show with all of that laughter going on, very relaxed. So if you missed it, I invite you to check it out on demand. So tonight, we have quite a beautiful spirit joining us. I met her in 2012 at a women's conference, and we sat at the same table for breakfast and then later attended each other's workshops and discovered we're kindred spirits. And I'm so thrilled to have her on the show. So please, let's give a warm mind, body, and soul food welcome to the scientific mystic, Rosemary Bredesen. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, Tanya. I'm so happy to be with you.
You know, I have to tell you, I have just said your name over and over again, and I have never checked in with you to make sure I'm pronouncing it correctly, so please forgive me if it's incorrect and share the proper pronunciation.
Well, the Norwegian pronunciation, and that's where my husband Bredesen comes from, is Bredesen.
Bredesen?
But okay. it gets a lot of different pronunciations. And I answer to Rosemary, the scientific mystic, no matter how someone says the last name.
Well, thank you for your graciousness. I appreciate that. Now that I know, I will do it correctly. At least that's my intention right in this moment. Well, other than someone who is married to someone of Norwegian ancestry, please share with our listeners who you are and what do you serve up at your healing table?
Oh, well, thank you. We could spend the entire show talking about that, but let me just give you a little bit of background, because I come at this, you know, the scientific mystic, when I say that, people sometimes kind of go into this space of, wait a minute, those two words don't go together. How can you be one
right
and the other at the same time? And my background really does come from mathematics and working in technical fields and 12 years for NASA on the Hubble Space Telescope. And I was really in the technical field. At the end of my career with NASA, I was responsible for the pictures that were coming out and the Office of Public Outreach. And that was really the educational material, press releases, a photo lab, and all of that. And now I'm hanging out with the astronauts and meeting senators and authors and all of that. I had this feeling that there was more. I was supposed to be doing more, and I felt a calling to become a spiritual healer. Now, you know, when you're teaching Bible study and at church, and then you're at this kind of technical high-level role that has a lot of glamour at cocktail parties, talk about it, and you hear this voice saying, become a spiritual healer. I really did that. You know how often we do this little resisting thing like, you want what? Are you sure you don't mean that person over there? You didn't mean me, did you?
Not me, surely not.
Not me, right. What do I know about what that means? And I wasn't sure whether I was supposed to go around and slap people on the forehead and said, be heal. I just didn't really know what that meant. So I did what a lot of us do and said, okay, you got to do better than that. So give me more. Give me more information. And it took a few months of meditating on it, and then what happened is, in the space of 1 week, two different people said to me, I think you should meet this minister. She went to some seminary in Oklahoma. And I'm like, really? Two different people are talking about the same person I should meet? So as I did that, I met this woman. I talked to her, and she said, you know, the dean of the seminary makes a once-a-year trip to Maryland, and she'll be here next week. You could have a meeting with her and have your interview. And I thought, oh, your spirit, you're getting so good. this is detail, right? You know?
Right.
And so in that meeting, I signed up. I joined a seminary and did a four-year program that I could continue to work and participate in this program. So that I went through and became certified as a pastoral counselor, ordained, and expanded that. It was esoteric Christianity, but then that expanded more into kind of beyond denominations. It was more the spiritual path than any particular religion. And in that, I also became a Reiki master and studied tools that were helping me. So I was going through fibromyalgia. I went through my own dark night of the soul, which is that personal, what is life about? Who am I? Why am I on the planet? Why am I in pain? You know, what am I going to do with myself here? And in that process, the tools that were helping me were counseling and coaching and NLP techniques and hypnosis and massage therapy and Reiki. And so I started wondering if those tools that had helped me come out into the light on the other side weren't going to be useful tools to have in the toolbox. So I became a Reiki master. I became a master practitioner of NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. I studied psychology. I studied brain science because I already had this scientific background. So I studied all this new brain science and quantum physics that was coming out. And I became a trainer of hypnotherapy. And all of the tools that would help me help someone else go through what I went through a little less painfully, you know? It's kind of like once you get the tools there, it's like, hey, been there, done that. Let me show you what works, and I could help people. And it became very obvious during this process that although I was enjoying this nice high-level job with a nice glamour for the cocktail parties, that was not my purpose in being on the planet. My purpose was becoming a spiritual healer. And so I really followed a calling to leave that work and create this work that I do now. And I work with private clients as well as doing trainings and classes, and I channel material. I realized that Mother Mary had asked me to do her work on the planet, and I had committed to do that when I had a near-death experience at age 6, but I didn't really sign up to go back to that work until much later in my life. And so I do. I channel material that is helpful in lifting the consciousness of all, but especially of my particular clients. And the kind of work that I can do by accessing all these multiple dimensions for people is help them access the dimensions inside themselves. And this is what I found was so important is people have been giving away their power to outside sources for generations. And, you know, I'm sure you've heard people pray. They pray and pray and pray to God. And then, you know, I listen to them talk about this, and I say, do you ever shut up and listen? You know, like sometimes we're so busy talking our prayers that we forget that the voice is going to answer us inside. And that's our access point. And so you've probably seen this too. It's like, you know, just training people to pay attention to their inner voice, listen to their gut feelings, let their intuition speak and learn to trust. So that I've been teaching people for years how to do that. And I do it with people that I do business coaching with because I've been through a lot of business training and coaching myself. And so I can help people find their path through what's out there so they're being empowered instead of empowering, giving their power away to someone else. And the same thing is on the spiritual journey. It's when you get to that crisis of meaning, when you really don't know what's coming next, or you've lost someone to death or suicide, and you really don't know where to go. You know, like, how do I get through this? How do I make that progress? Trust me, when I was working on the Hubble Space Telescope for NASA, I did not know that spiritual healing meant becoming a medium and connecting people to their loved ones who'd crossed over to the other side. I mean, you know, I was working in the field of astronomy, and we were exploring the cosmos, but I didn't know I was going to actually be traveling out there and bringing back spirits from other dimensions. So that was a shock in this journey that I went through. But I've seen how healing it is. And that's the most amazing part about this. When you sign up to be a spiritual healer, I would say they don't tell you what that means necessarily. You really have
to be careful what you say yes to.
Exactly. And it's that surrendering. Funny story, when people ask me, how did you know you were a medium? Were you this all along? Well, when I was a child, I used to see things, but I was growing up in the Roman Catholic Church where seeing the saints or Mother Mary, you know, all of those experiences were kind of okay, and so you just didn't really think there's something special about me. They just were a part of what was going on in life, so I didn't pay a whole lot of attention. In college, I was a mathematician, a math major. I'm having to write papers on infinity, and I remember going to a professor and saying, how do you write a paper on infinity? Every time I explore, I go into Boolean algebra, and then I'm in philosophy, so I'm not in my mathematics world yet. She said, keep working on it because you've got something going here. You don't have to meet that deadline. I thought, oh, that's great. So I remember having all of these thoughts about what's consciousness? Who are we? How do we fit in? So here I am, this, you know, 19, 20-year-old, and I'm in a small Catholic girls' college, and we have these amazing priests who had studied in Rome and were just very intellectual, and I had these amazing discussions with them about this exploration. You know, my feeling is there's this level of consciousness, and maybe time is the fourth dimension, and then consciousness is the fifth dimension, and we're just kind of a part of this overarching, all-knowing consciousness, and we come in and have this experience to reflect back on consciousness and what we're aware of, and isn't that important? And that took away, because nobody shut me down. It was kind of, okay, keep exploring. It got tucked away in a pause for maybe 20 years before I brought it back
out. I have to say, Rosemary, I mean, for a 40-year-old, those are heavy questions to ponder. But I can't even imagine for a 19-year-old to be talking about, you know, the dimensions and living in, you know, through the dimensions and consciousness and all of that. And I do want to pause for you to explain a little bit more, because I know that not all of my listeners may be aware of some of the terms that you are using. So when you talk about dimensional living, can you explain what that means?
Oh, absolutely, and thank you for asking that question, because when we talk about dimensional living, we're really experiencing what I'm going to call a capital R reality. And that means that there's more than just these three dimensions. And that's something that we forget because, you know, in everyday life we get up when the alarm clock rings and we have to do the basic things. We take a shower, we eat breakfast, we drink our coffee, whatever we're doing. It's kind of all happening within these three dimensions. And we think about time as this linear thing because the clock is going tick, 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 and so time must be linear. And what I've come to realize is that time is really more about a dimension that we exist in. All time is right here. In this moment, the past, the present, and the future all come together. So that's why affirmations work, because we speak in the present tense, but we are actually in the future and the past all at once. We collapse it in this moment. And so this is really a dimension that we live in, and the only reason we have the clock is so that you and I can agree to be on the phone together at 6 o'clock in the evening on Sunday, April 5th, right? You know,
okay.
Or we can have lunch together tomorrow at noon because our clock tells us it's that time. But the real capital T time is a dimension we live in. And so we start to realize that, and then when we think about death, and most of us don't want to ponder that because we kind of are facing our own immortality, but you probably don't know anyone who hasn't lost a loved one, whether it's a pet or a grandmother or somebody even closer. And in that process, we have to realize that they didn't go anywhere and they didn't cease to exist. So in this three-dimensional world, the physical body stops running and the being continues, keeps going. And so being able to access that dimension, I'm now able to connect people to that loved one who has crossed through a veil but is still with us. So the dimension isn't aware out there. They're here. They're in this place. But most people can't see them. Most people, I will tell you, can experience and feel their presence. So it's rare that I say, well, you know, this person is here saying to me that they've been making something ring at your house. It's like, oh, my gosh, yes. I was going to buy a new stove because the timer kept going off. They kind of know that the person's around, but it's here's the description, the scientific description is there is another dimension that interpenetrates ours, and when we drop our body in the third dimension, we exist in this other dimension right there with the people. We're at the birthday parties. Little kids don't have any trouble seeing these people. Little kids don't realize that those aren't real, just the way you and I might define it in our unconscious state. And so it's just granddad's here or Uncle Mike is in the room. You know, they experience it. And then what do? We train them out of that so they can't see it anymore.
Right, yes, so, yes. That's just your imaginary friend or you're making things up.
Exactly. And so that's what I mean about dimensional living. It's really opening back up to embrace that. And then we have angels. Angels have their own dimension, and they are with us. I mean, everybody has some story that they can't explain with three-dimensional logic, but something else happened, like a car accident that should have happened that didn't, but that kind of magically got out of my way. Or I had an experience
I've had that so many times, yes.
Right. Your angels actually are pushing the cars away or changing the dimensions so that you can kind of move through something that should have been physical in the three-dimensional world and should have been solid but wasn't. And, I mean, I've had that experience where I slipped on the ice and my feet are out and I should have been flat on my back, and somehow I wasn't. It was like someone was lifting me up under the arms so I didn't fall. Well, you know, if there's no physical person there, there is someone in some other dimension who is helping along that path. And so when I say dimensional living, I really mean understanding that there are more dimensions than these three. And so as a coach, you know, a mentor, a counselor, a spiritual healer, I help people see that their problems are because they're thinking in three-dimensional reality. And the solutions don't live there because it was that dimension that got us here. So if we expand into other dimensions, invite in our angels to help us, realize that the inner dimensions of our higher self, our beings inside, can actually find more solutions, they're more resourceful, than if we just look at our three-dimensional world and think that's all there is. We think that's reality. And it's just a three-dimensional part of reality. The other dimensions hold the solutions with a capital R reality. That's a long answer to your question, but I hope it explains it well.
But it's a nice full answer, and I believe it's very clear. Thank you for that. You also mentioned that you believe that consciousness is part of that, did you say fourth or fifth dimension? I just wanted you to talk about consciousness and how does that play into the work that you do as well?
Oh, that's so great. And I want to say consciousness with a capital C, because my sense of consciousness is, and this goes back to what I arrived at as a math major in college and have certainly been working on for the last decades that I've been thinking about it, but consciousness is that experience of something greater. And it's that understanding that when we are connected, there's a connection between us that is so profound. It's an awareness of that profound connection among all of us. The part of us that's not the jerk who's cutting us off in traffic. The part of us that is not the one we're either having a problem with or madly in love with. Either side of that. There's a connection kind of beyond that part of the experience. And I call it consciousness because it is where all the thoughts and beliefs of all of humanity for all time have existed. And it's almost where all the creative energy is. And so we tap into this level of consciousness, and it brings us to a place where we can be more creative. And if you have to explain two science teams on two different sides of the world arriving at the same experiment, the same conclusions at the same time, have you ever heard of that? I mean, that happens all the time.
Yes.
Right? You know, how could we go hundreds of years and not know the answer, and then all of a sudden two teams on different sides of the world independently arrive at the same answer at the same time?
Yes.
Well, I believe there's a level of consciousness that the time has come, or the hundreds monkey thing has happened, and we are now able to embrace that in consciousness on the planet, human consciousness. And then everything we learn and grow also contributes to that. So our thoughts are things. Our thoughts are part of this. And we come in for this lifetime, and then we go back and become a part of that consciousness. And that's where these folks in this other dimension come to us from, because they didn't die. There's no timeless, there is a timelessness to them. There's no short-term linear thing. I start here and I end there. So the part of them that continues going is this level I would call consciousness. And the more aware we become, the more we participate in that. And that's where growth comes. You know, people who live in the world of, I know all the answers, or don't confuse me with facts, that, you know, I don't want to think anymore. I don't want to learn anything more. That would not be the listeners to your show, for example, because the listeners to your show want to explore. They want to grow. And that awareness that there's something else to learn, if there's another part that I can participate in, I can grow, I can expand, that's participating in the expansion of all consciousness. But especially the human component of that is how our thoughts are things, our thoughts are energetically going out there and expanding. And so we have our own conscious mind, our little conscious mind, but that small C conscious mind can only handle 7 ± 2 chunks of information at a time. And our unconscious mind, the bigger part of us, is where we store everything, and we are storing 2.1 billion bits of information per second in that unconscious mind. I've heard,
wow,
that's the number I learned when I was studying consciousness, or studying NLP and hypnosis as well, but I've heard now in recent brain science they're talking about that number might be 10 times it, 20 million bits of information that we're storing in this great, what we call the unconscious mind. So all of our experiences are going into this huge database, and that's where intuition taps into. So that's a level of consciousness that we're unconscious of in our daily lives. But it's thoughts, it's experiences, it's things we've seen, sounds we've heard, taste. So, you know, have you ever walked into a place and it smells like grandma's house smelled, you know, and it brings up this memory mm-hmm. of grandma? That's how it's accessing this giant database. It's our contribution to consciousness. And the corollary to knowing what that is to taking responsibility for what we put into that database and what we put into the human consciousness. If we are always churning with anger and hatred and divisiveness, that's what we're putting into the human conscious cloud. But if we're always
yes.
putting out love, if we're always transmuting the human emotion stuff into compassion and love and connectedness, that's what we're putting into this cloud for human consciousness.
And I know that's one of my tasks or one of my purposes, I know, just be really aware of what I'm putting into that cloud of consciousness. And, you know, I think there's a great responsibility when we become aware, when we wake up to this knowledge, it provides a responsibility, as you say. And so what do we do with that? You know, do we consciously put stuff out there knowing that it impacts the cloud, impacts more than just ourselves, or do we make a choice to add to the greater good of the world? So,
absolutely, and you're right. When you wake up, that responsibility comes with it because you can't go back to sleep. Once you're
right.
awake and you realize this stuff, you can't unlearn it. You can't forget it. You know it at some level. So then when you take responsibility
right.
for that, and here's what I... Like if I'm working with someone who is worried about their career or their relationships or what money or their business, their personal growth work is the first step because you have to look at what is happening inside of you. What's going on outside of you mm-hmm. is just a reflection, a projection. And so working on yourself is working on all those other areas of your life. And that's where once you've awakened and you take responsibility, as you said, for your contribution to this cloud of consciousness, then you have to be really careful that you become a clear channel, that you clear away
yeah.
your shadow stuff. You gather your disowned parts, whether you disowned them because they were too powerful for you to handle or because you think there's something wrong with them or somebody told you there was something wrong with them, and you pull them all back in and you process them into this light of consciousness, bring them into your awareness. And then with that responsibility, everything in your life now is seen through the lens of your contribution to the greater all. That's what all the spiritual paths that talk about kind of, you know, going into the fire and burning off all this stuff. You have to do that work. Right? And the unconscious people that are trying to hold on to the old ways or the old traditions are really fighting the energy of the evolution of consciousness. They have to work really hard to not grow. That's how I see
yes.
it. I think it's harder to fight growth than it is to just allow yourself to do your personal growth work.
Well, to take it back to an old reference, Star Trek, The Next Generation, I believe it was, with the Borg. Resistance is futile.
I just put that in
you
my
can resist.
Newsletter last week.
Did you? Talk
did,
about tapping into consciousness, right?
That's it. We share that consciousness. Yeah, because the subject of I put out this free weekly, I call it the Muse letter, M-U-S-E letter. But the article was about change. Change evolves. Change, evolve, change, evolve. That's kind of the process that we're in. And resistance to change is futile. That doesn't work. The Borgs taught us that because we're, when you think about it, you know, how hard is it to stay stuck? That takes a lot of energy. You're fighting the tide. And when you allow and you relax into who you really are, and who you really are is this being of beautiful light, who you really are is this eternal, timeless, gorgeous person. And when you relax into that, it's easier, and you grow, and you spread that light. And I call that inner light the inner splendor, because we don't use that word very much. But isn't that magical?
That's beautiful. So I like that.
Right.
I
so,
like
yes,
that.
Resistance is futile. You're right. The Borgs had it right. They taught us.
Well, Rosemary, we have some folks lining up with questions, and part of what you do, you mentioned that you are a medium and you're able to connect with, you know, beings from the other side, and, you know, you're quite tuned in, tapped in, you're aware of that now, and I know we have people who periodically like to call in and receive information that's going to be supportive for them, provide some direction for them, some comfort, some insight, etc. And I know you use this skill or this as yet another tool as part of the healing work that you do. So I wanted to invite callers to dial in with questions and to receive messages from the other side. And the number is 917-889-7806. Again, that's 917-889-7806. Make sure you follow the prompt to speak with the host, which means pressing the number 1, the 1 button on your phone once you get connected, and we'll get to you in the queue in the order in which you call. Just to let everyone know that our show usually goes from 6 until 7, but we'll do our best to handle all of the callers. So if we need to extend past the 7 o'clock hour Eastern Standard Time, we will be glad to do that. So, Rosemary, just to streamline the process, because we want to make sure that folks know what to expect, can you explain how things will work? What do you need from them?
All I need from someone who's calling in is for them to give me their first name, and that will allow me to connect. And let me just say a few minutes about what that is, because I am looking for permission to tap in to whatever it is that person is connected to and what they would like to hear. I don't walk up to a stranger and say, did you know that your grandmother is walking along next to you and has a message for you? Because I don't have permission to do that. So I'm very careful about only connecting when I have permission to tap into someone. So that's why I'm asking for them to give me their first name, and if they speak it in their own voice, then that vibrationally allows me to connect to them. So that's what I'm asking for, and then, you know, we're basically opening this up, so any question is okay. I would love to have some general questions about what's going on. And then I tap into my guides. I often channel the Divine Feminine, but also my guides are talking to your guides. And so whatever I say is coming from a connection of what you need to hear, because my intention is to be here for the highest good of all who are listening. And that's what my meditation before I even dialed in was about.
Okay, wonderful. Well, we've had a caller who has been on hold for quite some time. She had called in before I actually connected into the show. So she is in the 858 area code. Caller, you are live on the air with Tanya Parker, Mind, Body, and Soul Food, and our guest, Rosemary Brett Braderson. I told you I was going to mangle it again. The scientific mystic. She's Rosemary, just simply Rosemary. Okay.
Perfect. Hello.
Hi, caller.
Hello, how are you?
Hi.
Good, how are you?
I'm excited for this. Oh, I'm good, thank you. I'm excited for this phone call. The reason why I'm calling is to connect with someone who has passed away. It's actually the brother of a friend of mine.
And
your
so
name, caller?
I'm Alexis.
Okay, Alexis. And then would you say the first name of the person that you want to connect to, please?
It's Brandon.
Okay, so there's a message from Brandon, which is that his role was to provide a message for people around him. And he fulfilled his role. I gather that he was fairly young when he crossed over. Is that true?
Yes.
Because he's basically saying he doesn't want everyone to be so sad about his crossing as if, you know, oh, you know, he didn't get to do so-and-so. Because he said his lessons he was learning even after he crossed over, but his role was to hold a message, hold a space for everyone around him to learn their lessons. And he completed it in a short period of time. So, you know, some of us live here for 100 years before we finish our coursework that we came into this lifetime to learn, and some do it in a short period of time. And so he was finished with his work, and he went on to the other side, but he continues. He continues to learn and to grow. And he said, as a matter of fact, he also has some work to do on the other side. So he has connected back with friends and family here in ways that he's trying to help them understand life and death, if that makes any sense. Do you know if anybody's had some sense of him being around or being close?
I don't know that answer. Maybe somebody.
All right, because he said he has been around kind of trying to get their attention so they know that he's okay, and he knows, he wants to share this. He's saying that there's joy and peace right through the doorway, and he's afraid that not everybody realizes that there's somebody who needs to hear that he's at peace. If you know who that is, you can share that message. But there's a kind of, people have had a question about what happened after death. And he is at peace. He found joy, and he also has been in school. So, you know, we think of dying, I think some of the model that we're given is you go to heaven and you live in this place where there are angels and harps. And it's not really like that. So what he wants people to know is that you continue without your body, and if there are lessons you haven't learned in your life, especially, you know, as a young person, you complete what you're going to do in the three-dimensional university, and then you go over there and you have teachers and you continue to learn. So he wants that message to come through, okay?
Okay. Yeah, that was my reason for calling, was to give his family a message. But is there anything, like, really, really obvious or specific you could give me to pass along? That way I don't sound like, you know, kind of a general.
I have to tell you that he's laughing hysterically. And so let me see what he's going to say after he stops that. And he said that, they know I've been there because I have been playing tricks on them all the time. So he's telling me that he's moving things around, and he's enjoying the fact that he's done that. He doesn't want to go into any other specifics because he feels as if that would not be important. He doesn't want to take people backward in time, if that makes some sense.
Right,
so he wants
right.
them to look around, because as he, and I said, he's laughing, and he said he wants credit for things. So somebody keeps losing things like their keys. They don't understand why the keys aren't where they're supposed to be. Or he's moving something around and they kind of just brush it off. But he wants credit for that as a way that he says, I'm here, I didn't go anywhere. And so that's really important for them to, that's more important than, you know, for him to say, oh, that blue wall in that room has blah, blah, blah on it. He doesn't think that kind of specificity is what he wants to share. So just mention that, and they'll be aware that when things are moved around, he's physically present trying to tell them he's there. Okay?
Okay. Okay.
Thank you, Alexis, so much for calling.
Right. Thank you, Alexis. I'm glad you stayed on the line. I want to share a couple of other stories that I've had with other people, because I think it's sometimes important for us to understand that when someone crosses over, they are still present in our lives. So I mentioned that about the timer on the stove going off and this person saying, oh, I was ready to buy a new stove because we couldn't figure out why the timer kept going off. I had a couple who lost their son, and the son said to me, tell him about the toilet. And I said, well, what's going on with the toilet in your house? Now, he says he's flushing the toilet to let you know he's there. Well, of course, for me, when I see these big eyes come up, I know that's the factor that's connecting for them. And the father said, I've had the plumber, and I paid him 3 times to come out, and he keeps saying there is nothing wrong with that toilet, but it keeps flushing by itself. So, I mean, we can chuckle about this story, right? It's hilarious.
Right.
And it's like humor. I was thinking today, maybe I'll write a book called Humor from the Other Side, because they
Oh, I like that idea.
They tell us, I'm here. I didn't go anywhere. And we just have to interpret the signs. I mean, I could go on and on all night with stories from the other side, broken alarm clocks that ring, things that get moved around on an altar somebody set up to dad who passed away. You know, they just go on and on. And this is the stuff of which when we learn about multidimensional living, we accept that they're actually here. They aren't physically here in the other chair, but they might be in that chair. So the dogs will know that the spirit's there. They don't have any filters that say, oh, he's not there anymore. They jump up into the same chair as if he's there. And so we just need to remember that. Remember that.
Well, that's good to remember. That's great to remember. We have callers lining up, Rosemary.
Okay.
We have someone from the 801 area code now. So, caller, you are on the line. What's your name?
Hi.
From the 801 area code.
Hi.
Francis? Did you say Francis? Hi,
yes.
Francis.
Hi. I am going on this weekend on Friday. I'm going with my sister, and we're just going to take a little day off to go to the casinos that about 2 hours away from me. And I was wondering if there's any kind of message that I need to help me, because I could use some money right now, and I don't want to blow my money. And is there any kind of time or tips or anything that would help me? Even though I'm just going there to have fun, I still would like to. Is that kind of too crazy of a question?
Oh, well, I don't believe in any crazy questions because, you know, we're humans and we're interacting. But let me tell you what your guides are saying, and there's a couple things they're saying. And the first thing is, and I heard this really clearly, Francis, so I want you to hear this. They said set a limit for yourself. So that might be kind of a common practice when you're going to casinos, but they want you to be comfortable with some kind of a limit that you're comfortable with. And then they said follow your intuition, because this is going to be a really good classroom for you. It's like a cauldron of learning. So you start to, if you look at a bank of slot machines, or if you're playing poker or blackjack, whatever it is that you're doing, don't just sit in the first empty chair. Follow your intuition. Follow that gut feeling that says this is not the right table, or this is not the right machine, or whatever, and start practicing that so that you will get an expression of you in a space. And I have to tell you, I am not a big fan of casinos, because the energy of desperation in casinos gets so high that it's very uncomfortable for me. I know I went to a business conference in Las Vegas, my first trip to Las Vegas, and I had to find a route through the hotel so I wasn't walking through the casino all the time, just because it's uncomfortable. And I just feel sorry when I get into that kind of desperation energetic. And so you want to be in an empowered place. You want to have your own bubble of energy. If you don't know how to do that, protection, you know, we could talk about that. But you want to stay in a space where you can hear your own intuition. And so set a limit and follow your intuition are the guidelines that they want you to take into that place, so that you're not participating in the consciousness of the space. And that's what Tanya and I were talking about before. You know, everybody's thoughts, they're contributing to that energetic level of consciousness. And so if that desperation is the energetic level, it pulls you off of your center. And that's not why you're going. You and your sister are going to have some fun, and wouldn't it be great if you won some money? I have a friend who was just flying through the Las Vegas airport and won $200 at the machine while he was at the gate waiting to get on the next plane. You know, isn't that nice? So it is or it isn't. It's not about that. You're going there to have some fun. You're going to set a limit. You're going to be reasonable, but also be a little protective and just use it as a classroom. What does it feel like when I follow my intuition? How do I know whether I want to go here or there? How do I know, you know, walk by all the roads and see which one kind of calls out to you? So it's a good time to practice that because there's really no big downside to it, right? You're not going to gamble away the rent money or anything like that. So that's what they're saying. Use it as a classroom to see how it feels and follow those feelings. And if it feels like, hey, you know what, I'm going to stop for a while. I'm going to watch some other people or go get a sandwich or whatever. Follow that. Keep following that kind of intuition, that energy. And you'll practice it coming back a veteran of how to follow your intuition, which is great, right? And you'll have had some fun with your sister in the meantime.
Yeah, I know. I heard that before. And I know what you mean by intuition, but when I'm in a casino, I have no clue half the time. It's like they all seem the same. But there's nothing, any specific thing that comes through from spirit to tell me anything, because I don't know, numbers or anything that somebody might suggest for me.
You know, I have to say that I usually preface a private consultation with people with the fortune telling part because I find that to be disempowering. And so in answer to your question, what your guides are saying is they want you to learn how to follow your intuition so that if you find a number, feel a number, sense something, you follow through on that. That's the empowering thing. All right? So that's what they're saying. And I will look forward to your report afterwards.
All right.
Frances,
so okay
I hope you have
then.
A great time.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, thank you. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Have fun.
Thank you so much, all Frances. Right. Well, Rosemary, that was some really good advice. I know that, you know, every first Sunday I have someone providing some type of message, and periodically we'll get callers who want specific information about something. And it's important for people to know how you work and what the guides are saying. And what I've seen time and time again is that sometimes what comes through isn't what people are expecting. And that can be a little difficult to digest when you're wanting a particular outcome, but, you know, what comes is different from what is expected. So kudos to you for handling that.
You're right. And thanks for saying that, Tanya. But I really want all of the listeners to learn this. If you're in this group call listening to all of these messages that other people are hearing, it's because you're supposed to hear it as well. So even if it sounds like it, you know, it's somebody's Aunt Sally is saying something specific to them, if it starts to resonate in you, take it for yourself as well because you're on the call. You're hearing it. And so I don't believe in accidents. I think that everyone who's hearing all of this can process it for themselves. So your guys are all talking to each other. And so through me, a message might be for Frances in one call, but it could also be for Janie, who's not going to call in, but she might need to hear some of this about, you know, maybe I really can trust my intuition. So I just wanted to share that in terms of broadening what these messages are. And, you know, just as Tanya and I chatted at the beginning of the hour, we're both in this to help you live an empowered life. I want you to live your richest life, and there are no dollar signs in that. You know, the richness of experience and love and abundance and prosperity and friendship and creativity, all of that. That's the richness I want you to have in your life. And you do that by getting empowered. Follow your intuition. Follow the energetic flow in your life and all of that will come.
Yes, yes, I love that. Well, we have a local caller now, and actually I recognize this number from the 410 area code. Caller, you're on the line.
Hi,
are you there?
Yes, hello.
Hi there.
Hi,
are we
talking to me? Yes.
Yes, I'm talking to you, Tori.
I didn't know. I'm sorry.
Okay, would you say
well,
your first name,
I am. My first name is Tori.
Okay.
And Rosemary, I am so aware of everything that you've already forementioned about the dimensions and the different levels. Sometimes I feel like I'm on like the eighth dimension and I'm mm-hmm. still functioning here on the fifth or third dimension. So,
right.
I do understand that. What I do want to ask you, because I had a relative which I was very close to, which was my grandmother that passed away some years ago. I know in a dream she revealed to me that she is energy. She's everything around me now, so there's no need to be bitter. I just want to know, what do you tune in to as far as her energy and what she wants to convey to me?
Well, she's smiling, and I have to say, I don't know if I'm hungry or whatever, but she's kind of showing me a kitchen. So I don't know if she was the kind of grandmother who would provide food or, you know, just loved to share, but she's making me hungry. So I'm going to tell you that from my perspective. But what she wants you to know is that she's very, very proud of you because you have you have become such a compassionate person. And she's saying that in a way that you care so much about other people. And she likes to think that she may have contributed to that because she was very caring of you, but she didn't have the same reach. She didn't reach out to as many people as you do. And she cared about her, you know, her, like, immediate circle. And mm-hmm. she cared about people in a generic sense, but she sees you as having a much broader reach and that you're such a compassionate person. I'm sitting here with my arms going out and you've been gesturing because she's showing me how far your compassion and caring reaches, and she wants you to honor yourself for that. I'm getting chills just saying that because it's so important to her that you mm-hmm. honor yourself, Tori, and that's the biggest message.
It's hitting home because I'm crying right now. So, really, I know she's saying that.
Okay. Yes, yes. And she said, she's kind of chuckling. She said, I could feed you, she said, like cookies or brownies or something. But she said, you feed others with love and caring and compassion. And so it's almost like you have this energy food you feed other people.
Mm.
Does that resonate with you about how
yeah.
you make that into the world?
Okay. Yeah, yeah. I'm just like born a day before her birthday. And the story behind that is that she willed me to be here, either on her birthday or somewhere near, and I came a day before. So we had a very strong connection. She had a whole lot of grandkids, but I was the one that really stuck with her until the end.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yes.
Forgive me, I'm like crying right now.
Well, she's
yeah.
with you. I mean, she's definitely with you.
Yeah.
And you know it. There's some things that you experience, maybe in the kitchen, I'm not sure, but she does hang out with you.
Yeah, I know. Mm. Thank you so much, Rosemary.
You are so welcome, Tori.
Thank you, Tori, for calling in. What a beautiful, beautiful message.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love it. And, Rosemary, I will share that Tori was on our show in December, and she also is a mystic, a spiritualist. and message bearer. And so it is very true in terms of her compassion. All right. Well, we have someone else who has been on hold for a while, and the 202 area code, another local number, and the exchange is 423. So, caller, are you on the line? I think actually it shifted right as I was saying that. Okay, now, caller, are you on the line? 202
yeah,
area code with the 423 exchange. Hi there, caller. What's your name?
You know me. It's one of your students, Rasidi.
Oh, Rasidi, how are you this evening?
I'm at work cooling.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello, Rasidi.
Hey, how you doing?
Do you have a question for Rosemary?
How you doing, Rosemary? I wanted
great,
to
thanks.
Find. That's what's up. I wanted to find out about a person named Sadie.
Sadie, okay. Hang on a sec. All right, I want to say the energy that comes in as soon as we connect to Sadie is, I'm going to say it's like a no-nonsense energy. And that might be a kind of a soft way to say it, because I get the sense that Sadie kind of has her own energetic around her, and that she is a very direct spirit who, whether she's in the body or not, stays very direct, cuts through the crap, if I can say it that way, that she talks to you sometimes in a way that she is, you know how I talked about some of the people who have this little bit of humor and they do these little things to get our attention? My sense from Sadie is that she is just one of these people who knows. She knows things. She knows her heart. She knows her will. Can you tell me how old she was when she crossed over? Because she's like an old soul.
Wow. She was like, I think she was like 65. I'm not sure. I think in her 60s.
Okay. And does that describe her personality at all as you experienced her? Like she knew things?
Well, she was one of those no-nonsense type of people. But in the end, she became more.
Right. And she didn't take anything off of anybody either. I mean, she wouldn't let you get away with anything. With regard to her, because she just had, the word I'm hearing is that she has a clarity about her. And so she cuts through the stuff. You know, the Buddhists talk about cutting through the illusion, and you kind of have this gesture of cutting through the stuff so you can see the reality behind the truth, going for the truth. And so I'm doing that gesture, you know, or before I talk, yeah, I sit here and I'm gesturing. Nobody can see me. But the gesture is this, like, you know, I'm not messing with that stuff. I'm just going to cut right through. Let's get right down to business here. Let's cut right through to the truth. And I don't want to hear all that stuff that doesn't matter in this mode. And she said that she is helping folks left behind, and she's working from the other side to do that. So she's helping people who are maybe lacking clarity to kind of see things clearly. She's a voice in your head, Rasidi. I think that you must hear her voice. Are you aware of that, or are you just not aware that it's really her when you hear a voice?
Completely unaware of that.
Okay. Well, she's kind of chuckling and saying, well, it's me. So here's what she wants you to know. Here's her message for you. It's that if you don't hear anything else tonight, hear what Rosemary is saying about cutting through, cut to the quick, cut right through all that stuff to what's really important. And that she said sometimes for you, you care a lot, but you can get distracted by stuff that isn't really the most important. And she wants you to cut right through. So I'm doing this gesture again, my hand's like cutting through.
and ask yourself, constantly ask yourself, is this really the most important place I can put my focus? Is this really the most important thing I can look at? Am I hearing the most important fact right here? And so for you, the words I want to give you from her are, is this the most important? I don't know if that resonates with you or if you're feeling anything, but that's going to come up for you in the coming days because you're going to be dealing with situations or making some decisions, and you really need to pause. So step one is hit the pause button and then cut through it. Ask. I'm not being distracted. Don't be distracted. Ask, is this the most important thing for me to look at, way for me to evaluate this, choice I can make right now? So go, I want you to write down, she's showing me a little like an index card or a post-it note with WRM. And that means what really matters. And so her, I love her energy, I have to tell you, Rasidi. Thank you for introducing me to Sadie. Because this energetic is so beautifully clear. It's what really matters. Focus on what really matters. And all this other stuff that you might worry about or get distracted by doesn't really matter. It can fall away. And so if you have this little post-it note or card with WRM, it'll keep you focused on what's really important, what really matters. Okay?
Okay.
Will you do that?
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, good. Good. That's, and
thank you so much.
In
for
your head.
Thank you,
Rasidi, thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you, Rasidi.
I'm going to see you soon.
All right.
Okay, Rasidi, thanks for calling.
Take care. All right, we have a couple of other callers, and then we have lots of other folks on the line who have not indicated that they want to be heard. So I do want to remind callers, the number is 917-889-7806 if you want to speak with Rosemary, the scientific mystic, and press the 1 to indicate you want to speak with the host. And so right now, Rosemary, we have someone from the 718 area code. All right, caller, you are on the air. What's your name?
It's Om. Om.
I'm sorry?
It's Om. Om. Om.
Om. Oh, I recognize this voice from a previous show.
Absolutely.
Nice to hear from you, Om.
Same here. And Tanya, yes, I just want to say I love your show. Congratulations. It is awesome. It's amazing.
Oh, bless you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So, Rosemary, how are you?
So, you have a question?
I do.
Yes.
Rosemary?
Hi.
Okay.
Hi. My question is, the other day I was laying down in sleep, in a sleep state, transient state, and I had a dream about my cat that died. My cat was put to sleep several months ago. And in this dream, I had been actually, the previous day, I actually decided, because I went through a bereavement process unbeknownst to me, and I decided to actually take his stuff and, you know, put it away, throw it out, because it had been sitting here for a while. And in the dream, I actually could feel him coming over to be petted. He was comforting me and saying it was okay. And I thought that was so powerful. And then I can feel me fading back into this particular dimension. I can feel me coming out of it because I was being pulled back in here. And it was so powerful that I was conscious of that that travel, that moving, and that transient state. So I just wanted to share that. And if there's any more messages from my cat, Zach, I would love to know more, but I miss him terribly. And thank you also for sharing your powerful gifts as well, Rosemary.
Well, thank you for saying that. And I do want to say that your cat has been with you all along, and that experience of what that's really like, you know, that you feel like you're really petting Zach, that being a part of your life doesn't end just because his things aren't there or he's not there physically. Our pets are so close to us in their lives that they hang around. They often choose to go when they can be the most helpful for us from the other side. So his time on this planet, he decided when to go over and become your companion in spirit, because that's a more loving, constant presence with you. I've got chills again just saying that, because that allows you to be a little bit freer to do more of your thing, to travel more and not worry about him, and you don't have to worry even financially about taking him to the vet anymore or anything, but he's constantly with you. And so his choice to be your spirit guide was his choice, and he wants you to be aware of that, number one. Number two, he is so present as a calming influence on you that it's almost like he's your local therapist who stays with you. I don't know if you experienced that when he was there, but he's there to, he's willing to absorb from you worry and anxiety and angst and anger and any of those energetics that take you kind of out of your path to oneness, is what I'm hearing. But that he'll transmute it. He'll pull it out of you. And he can do that better when he doesn't have to have a physical body dealing with physical things, because it's harder for him to transmute that energy in a physical body. But as your spirit guide, he's in a different vibrational frequency. I hope this is making sense to you, because I'm talking about dimensions and frequencies. But
no, it makes total sense. I mean, I am in every way, in my lineage, they call me a shaman, but I'm in every way someone who's very gifted in the same field you are. So I do know what you're saying powerfully.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Because he is saying that he's the one who is able to then suck those vibrations out of you that you don't need, or when you get into a place of trying to work on something that takes you down, and instead of keeping you up in the light, he can be your power animal. It's almost like your spirit familiar, if that term
is working. Absolutely, which is beautiful. I'm going to actually keep that. You gave that to me. I appreciate that, spirit familiar. I appreciate you, Rosemary. Thank you so much for your time and your powerful wisdom and energy and your ability to work with spirit in this way. And stay creative. Speak to you guys soon. Have a great day.
Okay.
Yeah?
Thank you so much for talking to us.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
I love the idea of a cat spirit coming through. Wonderful. And that gave me shivers, because it reminded me of my cat that passed away several years ago, and I won't go into that, but wonderful. We still have several callers, Rosemary. I'm like, will we get to them all? But we will do the best that we can. But the next caller is another familiar number. It is my number one groupie, my mother, Evelyn Parker. Are you there, Mom?
I'm here.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. I enjoyed the evening.
Okay. Okay. Mom, there's a connection issue. I don't know if you have the phone on speaker or what's going on, but there was a little feedback there. You sounded. Oh, it's a little better now.
Okay. Okay. Out the room if necessary.
That is better.
Okay. I was wondering if I could. It's so many people, but my sister Hilda, who passed away by 3 years ago.
And what's your sister's name?
Hilda.
Okay. Hold on. Great. Oh, she popped right in. She's smiling. Oh, come on. She's saying, come on.
I didn't go anywhere. This is funny. We're getting the same message from everybody. It's like, I didn't go anywhere. I'm still right there. So I don't know if you guys ever went shopping together, but she is showing me shopping with you, and she said, I like the voice that's telling you whether to buy it or not. Does that make any sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. Well, and the funny part about it for her, as she is laughing, is that she's loving the fact that she is still your partner to be able to do those things with, that she wasn't sure that was what it was going to be like to be dead, is what she said. You know, basically, she wants you to know that it's kind of not what a lot of people might tell you about dying, that she's having fun, number one. She's with other people that she wasn't sure she would be able to party with. I don't know if she's a party kind of person, but that's the phrase she used. And she said, you don't leave your loved ones. You get to go back and be with your loved ones. So she's exploring that realm and saying, I didn't know I'd have fun. So she wants you to know that she's having fun. And she does hang out with you.
All right.
Okay. Do you ever feel her, Evelyn?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
So do
yeah.
I.
Okay. Well, yeah, she hasn't gone anywhere.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Yes.
You okay, there, Ma? That's... You okay?
Yes.
Good. Well, she's
okay.
Smiling. She's with you.
Yes.
Anhilda is a very mischievous spirit and always, you know, was one for fun. And so I can just visualize her now.
Okay. Yes, her energetic
wonderful.
Was a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Okay,
so
wonderful.
Okay, Evelyn.
Oh, thank
you. Have fun.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Bye now.
Oh, that was neat, you know, to hear about one of my loved ones in there. That was lovely.
Yeah.
So thank you for that,
yeah.
Rosemary. We have someone from the 857 area code. And caller, you're on the line. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Peta. Peta?
I'm sorry, is that Peta?
Yes.
Okay, Peta,
hi.
How are you?
I'm well.
You have a question
you?
For Rosemary? I'm good,
I
thank
do.
You.
I do. Good evening, Rosemary.
Hi.
My question is, my life has been very chaotic for a while, especially when it comes to finance and career, and I'm wondering when do things settle down? It's like I just kind of need for things to settle down and be stable for a little while, for a long while, and I'm just wondering, does this happen?
Okay, so thank you for that question, and I appreciate your bringing it up because sometimes we get a little self-focused when everything is chaotic, and we think there's something I need to do to make it calm down, okay? And I want to share with everybody that there's something going on in the heavens right now that is affecting everybody on Earth. So whether you understand or study astrology or believe in it, and, you know, it's not, we don't give our power away to astrology, except that, and I worked on the Hubble Space Telescope, so I understand, you know, that sun flares affect our radios. I live on the Chesapeake Bay, so here in Annapolis, Maryland, we see the tides are affected by the moon. It makes sense that there's something going on with the planets. And so there is something that's asking us, it's inviting us to create all new structures, to examine what's really important, and then to expand our views. And this can either create kind of a negative energy, if we want to label it that, as the chaos, or it can be expansive and be the opportunity. We can re-examine things. We can recreate new things. And so I bring that up because sometimes we think we're the one who is the victim of all this stuff going on around us or the chaos, and chaos is the beautiful sign that we're ready to, I'm going to use the term up-level, create something new, restructure. And so for what I see going on with you, Tita, is that you are having an opportunity to make some decisions that I'm going to go back to what we talked about with Rafi about what really matters. You're getting to reexamine that, what's really important. And it's probably not going to settle down this month in terms of everything being nice and smooth and even keel. But you do get to restructure some things. You get to revamp your priorities based on what really matters from your heart. And so I'm going to go back to that, follow your intuition and understand that the chaos is this opportunity to say, well, which direction am I going to go? Am I going to go down into this and say, oh, woe is me, everything's chaotic? Or am I going to say, you know, nothing's set in concrete. How do I really want it to look? What's my true desire? Where are my dreams leading me? And you start to get glimmers of things you can shift, baby steps, and shift them in the direction of your dreams, the direction of your heart's desire, if you will. And the chaos will start to dissipate because you're empowered to take some steps. And you want those steps to be not in the direction of solving the problem. And if you remember at the beginning of the hour, if you were on, I talked about how problems tell us that we're looking at three-dimensional reality, but solutions are available in other dimensions. So now if you're in a place of chaos, ask your angels to show you the way out of the chaos. Invite in that other dimension, and your angels will come, and you'll start to have glimpses of, oh, that's a possibility I hadn't thought of before. Or some door will open, or you'll see something that will really resonate with you. So I want you to just kind of keep stepping up, keep using that image of stepping up out of the chaos into an expanded view of possibility rather than how do I fix this at this level, because that's not where the solutions are.
Okay, so I know I've had a month to really listen to my intuition and really, so I know where I want to go, but it requires some money and some time. And part of me doing something that I was doing before is going back into the work world, finding anything just to pay the bills. That's not working. It's not working because the job's not lasting, but I still need money to do what it is that I need to do. And the second part is, I'm very frustrated with my angels right now. I'm not talking to them. I'm not talking to them. And I'm not talking to God. Like I'm just very angry because I feel like, all right, I did what I was supposed to do, at least what I thought that I was supposed to do. The other part of this isn't supposed to be so difficult. When is the breakthrough? I'm trying, I'm staying in faith, doing my affirmations, I'm watching The Secret over and over again, I'm trying to hold on, but it's difficult when you're in the midst of a very lengthy storm. But I'm not talking to them right now. How do you
I do hear you, and I understand what you're saying. And this goes back to, you know, sometimes when it's so overwhelming, the hardest thing to do is to surrender to the process. And it's, you know, in these times, financially, we are oftentimes having to surrender to the letting go of things, letting go of businesses, letting go of houses, letting go of stuff. And at the same time, there is this new economy rising up. And there are two aspects to the new economy that's rising up. One is the gig economy. Have you heard that term yet, Tita?
No, but if it's to the traditional 9-to-5 corporate work world?
No, the gig economy is like a musician who plays a wedding here and plays in a cafe there and a coffee house and then has a little band concert. You know, it's finding those gigs, doing different little pieces, piecing it together.
So it's not like the corporate 9-to-5 job kind of a thing for the paycheck, because there's absolutely no security in having that kind of job right now. So, you know, it's owning this little piece comes from here, this little piece comes from there. So people who've been in real estate, for example, are doing property management and a little bit of real estate, and they might teach a class over here at the community college kind of thing. So it's the gig economy, and it's piecing together things that bring in a little bit of money here, a little bit of money there to create what we need for our basic needs. The other aspect of this new economy is called the gifting economy, and it's where we're actually doing, it's similar, some of it can be bartering, but some of it is people are offering things and then saying, just pay me what it's worth and what you can afford to pay, rather than here's the set price. So in a gifting economy, somebody might offer a class or a workshop or an event or a party kind of a thing, a service. I've seen somebody who does web development this way on the gift economy. Basically, I'll put up a new web page for you, and then you pay me what you can or what it's worth to you, and it works out. Or somebody teaching a class and doing that. So if you think about the consciousness, let's go back to consciousness. Think about being able to do the gig economy, and sometimes the gifting thing or the bartering thing, like, okay, I need a massage. What can I offer this person in exchange for that? You start to see a different energetic around it rather than the I don't have a job that's giving me a paycheck, and so the energetic of lack starts to come in no matter how we write the affirmations. Underneath it in that huge unconscious mind, some part of us, some little, I want to call it, like one of the voices inside of us is looking at the lack part. So I understand you might be angry at your angels right now. If I were you, I would call on a new angel, and I would sit with a new spirit guide and a new angel, because I'm hearing them, but they're not going to, they want you to be empowered to call on them. So if you're angry with the ones you've had, it's time to call in some new ones. And sometimes, you know, the new ones will come to me and say, here, tell her what my name is. But this time they are not doing that, because it's not about Rosemary. It's about Tita. And so your lesson right now is to learn how to connect to yourself, confidence in yourself, and then talk to some new guys, invite in a new angel. But I do sense that part of this is for you to just move into that space of it's not your job to make everything work the way you think it should work. Kind of go into this, what are some other possibilities? What's some other ways to look at it? Mm-hmm. And that's where it's going to kind of give you some comfort as it comes. It's like, well, you know, maybe this is not the way it's supposed to be, and I haven't really seen this other possibility. So I hope that becomes helpful.
Well, that's going to have to be the last word on that, because I'm looking at the time and we're running a little short. That was really interesting, because I think that's a message so many people can resonate with. And we thank you so much, Peter, for calling in. I hope that's helpful for you, and I hope you can connect in with your new guides and new angels and get to where you desire to go. Rosemary, what I would like to do is make sure that people know how to follow up with you to dine at your healing table. And if we have another few moments, I have one more caller on the line from the 917 area code that I would like to get to, but I do want to make sure that folks know how to get a hold of you.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Tanya. Yes, my website is thescientificmystic.com. So it's thescientificmystic. So thescientificmystic.com. And if you go there, I do offer a free audio download. It's a 7-minute relaxation meditation. And this can really help you de-stress in 7 minutes. And I'd love to have you check out the website. I do private sessions individually, and I do them over the phone or video conference so we can see each other. And I offer classes and periodic group activities. So I'd love to have you join me in Rosemary's space, and we'll keep going. I hope we can get in that last caller.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. We'll take that caller now from the 917 area code. They've been holding for a while. Caller, what's your name?
Hi, my name is Anna.
Hi, Anna.
Sorry,
you have a question for Rosemary? Anna?
Yes, I do have a question. Okay. I'm waiting for my work permit, and I can't work currently. But what's so painful is that I have to keep giving all these opportunities away to other people that I don't even know, but I'm helping them out. And this is the second one already I had to give away. And I feel like I'm giving my opportunities away, and I can't move forward in my life. And it's frustrating. Now, do you think I should have just taken that? I don't know what to do. I hate giving these jobs away, my opportunities that I am looking for. And what are your ideas on that?
Okay, well, the answer that I'm hearing for you, Anna, is that any opportunity that isn't meshing with everything else, so if you're waiting for the work permit, you feel you have to give this opportunity away, it's because it's not the right one for you. And so if you start to shift your thinking into, wow, another one is showing up that's not the right one for me, I can't wait to see what the right one is, you start to shift the magnet that you are for the right one. It's like an audition. When an actor goes on auditions, the number I've heard is they need to audition 33 times before they get the role. And so each audition is one audition closer to the role. Oh, I got that one. I'm closer to the role. So if you start to shift your thinking so that everything that's popping up, if the timing doesn't mesh with everything else, it's okay. That's not the perfect one. That's not the right one for me at this time. And so you give it away with that kind of a generosity of spirit that says, I trust you, universe. I trust the right one's coming. You will have a totally different dynamic within you. Your own energy will shift. And that's what's going to happen for you. And I see it happening. It's just the more you shift yourself into, instead of lamenting the fact that this job came up and you have to give away the opportunity, look at it as, oh, I'm getting that opportunity out of the way so the one that's best for me will come in. Does that help you think about it differently?
Yes. I feel like that is the way that I want to think and, like, be free. Mm-hmm. But I'm also jealous and maybe envious of the people that get my opportunity, that are coming my way.
As soon as you shift your language, it's going to affect your brain and create a new neural pathway.
I can say something like, I am choosing to for a better opportunity for myself where I can get my license and I can manifest those things. I can manifest what I need for myself.
Yes. So
whatever.
If it comes in and it's not the right timing, it's not your opportunity that you're giving away. It's like, oh, that's someone else's opportunity. And so you see it that way and you start to language it. It start, you know, my opportunity is still to come. My opportunity is better. It's waiting. It's coming in the perfect time. And that's their opportunity. Okay? So that language will
Thank you, Anna.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Anna. Good luck with that. Time is winding down, Rosemary. Where did it go? My gosh, I want to thank you so much. You fit in so many calls, and we've had Rosemary Bredesen on the line, the scientific mystic, and we've tuned into messages from the other side. It's been amazing. I would love to invite the listeners to tune in again next week on the second Sunday. At 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll have Ermina Tutu Ulis, who will be on the show to talk all about sacred dance. Please visit my website, mindbodyandspiritworks.com, and you can contact me for more information as well about my holistic healing, teaching, and writing services, including my blog and meditation CD and the trainings that I'm doing, et cetera. So tonight, Rosemary shared her formula for combining science and mysticism. And for leftovers, I will leave you with some mind, body, and soul food to go from planetary scientist Dr. Renee Weber. Reflecting the progress of science, I come upon a surprising conclusion, faintly reminiscent of a Zen koan. As science unravels more and more of the puzzles, the mystery of nature does not diminish, but deepens. Good night.
Yes. Yeah.